We are diving into, as Kevin said, week four of our series that we're going to be in all summer, Jesus and the Ten Commandments. We're diving into these commandments saying, God, what do you have for us? How do you want to shape us, change us, help us to become more like you, and enable us to make you known in the world through your word? So as we get started today, I just want to make a couple observations. Today's commandment is going to be a little bit of a challenge for a couple of reasons. One, a few of you in here are really passionate about this one. You read John Mark Comer's book, and you are ready to do that Sabbath thing full tilt, and you're really hoping that I just, like, give it to people today. That's, like, 15 of you. The rest of you, this commandment is difficult because, let's be honest, this is one of the commandments you feel least guilty about breaking. Like, this is low on the priority list. I mean, we're all convinced killing is wrong. We'll get to that one. That stealing is bad. We'll cover that. And most forms of adultery, that'll be a fun week, are not a good thing, right? But Sabbath, I mean, kind of feels like extra credit, to be honest. This is one of those commandments we have lots of questions about. What does it mean? What does it look like? What did Jesus really say about it? And maybe most importantly, how does it really apply to us today? So we're going to talk about it. We're going to dive in. But first, let's start by reading this commandment together. This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's read aloud together. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Today, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have 6 P words or 5 phrases that rhyme. All I want to do is walk through this passage and talk about Sabbath. So here we go. What is Sabbath? Well, in Hebrew, it's the word sabbat, and it's a word that simply means to rest. In the New Testament, the Greek word for Sabbath is the word sabbaton, and it means to cease. And actually, if you dive into Greek a little bit, a double B in the middle of the word is just like an increaser of intensity. So maybe the best simple definition of Sabbath is this: the intense ceasing of work in order to experience rest. The intense ceasing of work in order to experience rest. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the rest day by keeping it holy. That word remember, it's not just about mental remembrance. This isn't like remember your social security number. It's like taking something from the past so that it's alive and active in the present. That kind of remembrance. So that it will continue to live on in the future. It's maybe the way we remember Christmas. We celebrate it. It's the way we remember our workout routine. We don't just have it on our calendar or in our brains. We actually engage it. So remember is a way of saying observe the Sabbath or work to keep a Sabbath rhythm in your life. How? By keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, we understand holy as a very religious word. And it is. But it's also just a basic word that simply means set apart, other, or different from. This is why throughout the Bible, God is described as holy. We sing about God as holy because he's different. He's other. We're created. He's eternal. We're in time. He's outside of time. We have to learn things. He knows everything. He is different than we are. And here's my point. At the very heart of this commandment is the idea that one day of the week should look different than all the others. That one day of the week is holy. You see, one of the indicators that you might be breaking this commandment is all your days just keep looking alike. There's never a break in your rhythm, never a change of pace, never a new schedule, never a new pattern. This is how a lot of us felt during COVID, right? It's why we were all going crazy, because every day was the same. It was Groundhog Day again. Same people, same kitchen, same house, same stupid masks. I'm over it. We weren't built for always the same. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Here it goes. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. A lot in there. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Almost every commentator I read this week made this point. This commandment is not just about rest, it's also about work. It's not just about one day, it's about all 7 days. This commandment is actually about a rhythm of life that God offers us for our protection and freedom. You see, on a practical level, hard work leads to good rest, and good rest leads to hard work. Have you experienced this in your life? For me, it's most often experienced when I work hard at a message, at a sermon, when I study and dig and pray and then write and edit and write and edit and write and edit and then go over it again and then even one more time Sunday morning before church to just polish it up. It's a lot of work. Some of you think I'm just up here winging it. By the way, sermon writing is not my favorite part of this job. It's not. Preaching sermons, I love. Studying for sermons is fascinating. Writing a term paper every week for the rest of my life was not really what I tried to sign up for. However, it's an essential part of the process. And so after I have worked hard, preaching is a joy. And then Sunday afternoon and evening is such a wonderful time of rest, and that rest fuels me for work the next week. Do you experience this in your job? Here's another angle on it. If you don't work hard during the week, you're going to end up doing your work on your day off. You're disorganized. You're lazy. You're late. You procrastinate. And then your day off is eaten up. There's no rest. There's no break. There's no other. I'm preaching to myself right now because my family is all sitting here thinking, Dad, you sermon prep on Saturday all the time. That's true. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a rest, an intense ceasing. You see, in a lot of ways, commandment 4 just goes back to commandment 1. They're tied together. Remember week 1, were you here? Don't let little g gods be the driving force of your life. You see, commandment 4 is saying there will be a temptation for you and me to worship our work. For some of us, our little g god, the primary little g god in our lives, is called job. Job is where we find satisfaction. Job is where we find security. Job is where we find fulfillment in this world. And so God says, one day a week, be real intentional about putting job back in its rightful place. Or maybe another word you could use is accomplishments or tasks. Be real careful about being defined by what you do or accomplish, because it's addicting. Some of you are addicted to a task-driven life. This means that even on your day off, you're working, or you've got a list, or you've got to be productive. Production and accomplishment over all else, and you'll even spiritualize it. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. That's Proverbs chapter 16, Pastor Dave. Behind every idol is always a good verse for an evangelical. For some of you, that's your life verse. Not a verse about Jesus or grace or faith or love or hope. Nope, just production, baby. Get it done. Now, I'll stop here and say, some of you are retired, and maybe you think this commandment doesn't apply to you. You're thinking, I got like Sabbath every day, Pastor Dave, right? Let me ask, I want you to answer this one out loud. Most of the time I ask rhetorical questions. I want an out loud answer here. Okay, ready? Can you retire from the Bible?
No.
Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Okay, so it's a little bit of a trick question. I didn't intend that, but when I asked it, I thought, actually, the answer is yes, you can, but you should not. You cannot, you should not retire from the Bible. And so the scripture says this, be productive. Be productive for 6 days. Give yourself to tasks and projects and ministry and the work of the Lord and a calling in your life for 6 days, but also take a day to cease and rest. Make that your rhythm. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. Here's a practical question. Does it have to be the seventh day? Because you know that the seventh day in the scriptures is Saturday, right? For thousands and thousands and thousands of years, God's people in the Old Testament ceased their labors and worshiped God on Saturday. Saturday was their Sabbath, the last day of the week. And that continued, by the way, to be the case until 321 AD. 321 years after Jesus, when Roman Emperor Constantine became a Christian. By the way, there's some debate about that. But what he did was he declared, Sunday is the new day. Sunday is the new day of rest and worship. That happened in 321. And then, 1,400 years after that, a new nation was formed called the United States of America. Maybe you've heard of it. And when this country was formed, there was actually a big debate. Should Saturday be Sabbath or Sunday? Should we take Saturday off or should we take Sunday off? And they couldn't decide, so we got both. That's called indecision working in your favor. Seriously, if you've ever wondered, I'm gonna be totally serious here. This is, like, you think, like, is that really, I'm gonna look that up on the internet later. Look it up. Right? If you've ever wondered how we got a two-day weekend, that's how it happened. You see, the Exodus was written to former slaves. They did not get a day off ever. And then God frees them and says, now take one day off a week. They were thrilled. Imagine that, thrilled at a one-day weekend. That's the most foreign thing I've said to any of you all morning. And I point this out just to sort of plant this idea subtly. We live in such a blessed and privileged time, right? Because if you're like me, I'm so spoiled that it's not a good weekend unless it's at least a three-day weekend, right? But back to the original question. Does Sabbath have to be the seventh day? Does it have to be Saturday? Well, here's the simple answer. As Jesus followers, Sunday is our day of worship, and here's why. After centuries of worshiping on Saturday, the early church made a shift to worshiping on the first day of the week, Sunday, because it was the day Jesus rose from the grave. Acts chapter 20 is one of the places, for example, where it talks about the early followers of Jesus gathering to break bread on Sunday, the day that the world changed, the day of new creation, the day of hope and peace and joy and victory. And I bring this up because sometimes you'll encounter people or groups who are passionate about worship happening on Saturday. It has to happen on Saturday. The Bible says it's Saturday, and they'll show you tons of places in the Bible where it really does say it's Saturday. But our very simple and biblical answer to that is, in line with the scriptures and in line with the very first followers of Jesus, we gather for worship on Sunday, Resurrection Day. Now, does this mean that just because the church gathers on Sunday, you have to Sabbath on Sunday? Like, what if your day off is Wednesday? Because we kind of live in a world like that right now. Can you Sabbath on Wednesday? Well, here is what Paul says to a group of Jewish and Gentile Christians who are having a similar debate about what days to do what in the Church of Rome? Had a big debate about some of these like formal like legal rules from the Old Testament. And this is what Paul writes to the church, the early church. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Another considers every day alike. Choose whatever day you want. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. What Paul is saying here is that the specific day is not the real issue. It's not worth arguing about or dividing over or debating and getting upset. As long as you are taking a day to make God the priority in your life, that's what really matters. And friends, if we go back to Exodus and read carefully, we actually see the same thing. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. To the Lord your God. You see, the key to a Sabbath day is that it's a day to the Lord. Sabbath is a day to step away from work, to be with God and say, yes, I'm grateful for my job. Yes, Lord, I believe my job is from you and that through it I can worship you, but it's not my provider. My job is not my provider. It's not my security. It's not my safety net. You, God, are my provider. You're my security. You're my safety net. And I declare that on this day. Listen to Jesus' words. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, how you'll provide for yourself. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You see, some of us are so worried about life and provision that we can't stop working. More grain in the barn. More, I gotta get more money in that 401k. I gotta have more money for more vacations and nicer cars and better clothes. And the thing goes on and on and on. And Jesus says, calm down. Calm down and be at peace because God will take care of you. You can take a day off. You can trust God with one day off. You see, part of what we're doing on Sabbath is saying, God, I trust you. You see, a Sabbath is a great chance to remember I'm not as important as I think I am. Let's say that together. I'm not as important as I think I am. God can get it done without me. Right? Now, also, God will also say to you, you're extremely important to me. Right? Friends, this is why periodically on Sundays, I don't preach. I get asked about this a lot. I do it, A, because it gives other people a chance to grow in preaching. B, because we have other good preachers, and variety is nice. I get tired of hearing myself. But most importantly, it's a reminder to you and to me that this church is not about me. Too many churches are about a person. Friends, this is Jesus' church. It was his church before I got here. It'll be his church long after I leave. And the same is true for you. This is Jesus' church. And he loves to use you. And he loves to use me. But he can get it done without you and me. The same is true at your job, in your company. A Sabbath to the Lord is about trusting the Lord, trusting that he's getting it done, that he's providing, that he is the one powering the ship, not me, not you. It's also about stepping away from competing lords. When you have a day devoted to the Lord, you're saying like, I need to push away competing lords. Friends, maybe there's another little g God in your life driving your schedule and capturing your attention all the time. I'm thinking this is true of most people in this room. Maybe when this other little g God dings, you start to salivate like one of Pavlov's dogs. Maybe when you don't know where it is for a moment, you start to stress. Maybe if you leave it someplace, there's a full-fledged panic. Can anyone relate? You see, a Sabbath is a great day to step away from the little g gods in your life, your phone or computer or TV or video games or social media accounts or Words with Friends or Candy Crush or whatever it is you do. Not because those things are bad, but because they often distract and compete with God for our attention, and Sabbath is His day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to not do any work? What constitutes work? If God says not to work, what specifically can I and can't I do on the Sabbath? Let's get a list, Pastor Dave, right? This is kind of part of the questions that became the focus for the religious people of Jesus' day. And so that's exactly what they did. They came up with rules and restrictions and regulations for the Sabbath to the point that it went from being this day of blessing to the most painful, difficult, and despised day of the week. So many rules that people ended up hating the Sabbath, just getting through it. 24 chapters of the Talmud, which is like where the Jewish people, the rabbis would explain the Bible. 24 chapters of the Talmud were filled with Sabbath regulations. 24 chapters of rules. Let me give you some examples. For them, according to the Talmud, you couldn't carry anything on your person that weighed more than a dried fig. If you threw an object in the air, you could catch it with the hand that you threw it with, but not with the other hand. A tailor couldn't carry his needle, a scribe couldn't carry his pen, a pupil couldn't carry his or her books, nothing could be sold or bought or washed. Wool couldn't be dried. I'm sorry, it would just dry on its own. Couldn't be dyed. Those words are similar. No one was allowed to prepare any food, so all food preparations had to be done the day before. No fire could be lit, no fire could be put out. And sowing, reaping, threshing, winnowing, or harvesting of any kind was strictly forbidden. By the way, this is the regulation that created conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. You remember this story? Jesus and his disciples are walking on the Sabbath out in the country where often roads would sort of cut through the middle of people's farm fields. And as a backstory, the Old Testament made some wonderful provisions for people who were traveling, for sojourners. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 23. If you enter your neighbor's grain field, like if you're on one of these roads that goes through your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain. In other words, like don't go over and harvest someone else's crop. But if you're on a journey and you need some nourishment, you can grab a snack along the road, right? This was common practice in Jesus' day. And this is what his disciples do. But the problem, at least according to some Pharisees who were watching this, is that they were doing it on the Sabbath. They were harvesting grain on the Sabbath. And so they called Jesus out. They loved calling Jesus out. Why do your disciples do what is unlawful on the Sabbath, Jesus? And Jesus says a few things in retort, but ultimately here's his answer. This is Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's man in the general sense, ladies. The Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. The end goal is not for Sabbath to be honored, but for us to be blessed. The end goal is not for Sabbath to be honored, but for us to be protected, for us to enjoy the freedom of not being enslaved to work, for us to have a day of rest to the Lord. That's the goal. So can you garden on the Sabbath? Can you jet ski on the Sabbath? Can you have friends over and throw a big party on the Sabbath? Or is all you're allowed to do take a nap and read the Bible all day? Right? Let's get to it. Here's my answer. I don't know. Is jet skiing what you need to do? Does it bring you closer to the Lord? Does it change the rhythm and pattern and pace of your life? Then jet ski away. And by the way, I like to jet ski, so I'm open to being invited. You see, Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing, not a burden. It's not about what can and can't I do, but what should and shouldn't you do in order to take a break from your usual routines and have some replenishing time with God. What does my soul really need? That's the question. Not instant gratification. Not what do I want instantly to gratify me. Not this is what I'm addicted to and it feels good. No, what does my soul really need? On Sabbath, you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, my kids are loving this part, nor your male or female servant, I feel like this is going to be quoted back to me later, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Here's the question I think most husbands in the room are now asking. Does this include a wife's honey-do list? Like, is that allowed on the Sabbath? I say no. Here's something we often miss about Sabbath. It's not just for you. Your Sabbath doesn't just protect you, it protects others too. That was a rhyme. I said I wasn't gonna have rhymes today. That's a rhyme. Your Sabbath doesn't just protect you, it protects others too. You see, when you never take a break, when you never stop and rest, when you always have a list, when work and more and production never get a pause in your life, it spills out into the lives of the people around you. Your employees feel it, your coworkers feel it, your kids feel it, your spouse feels it. Even when you don't intend to, they get sucked into your life of do and go and earn and accomplish. And it's destructive. You see, part of this commandment is you take a break, but another part is give the people in your life a break too. What is the most readily available example of this in our culture? Do you know? I mean, when I say it, you're gonna be like, yep. Chick-fil-A. Do I wish they were open on Sundays? Yes. I've driven all the way down there before and then like, oh man, I forgot. I just want a chicken sandwich. I just want one of those lemonades with ice cream or whatever, right? Would a lot of people go to Chick-fil-A if they were open on Sundays, especially after church for food? Yeah. But they're closed. Not just giving their management a Sabbath, but all their workers. Friends, in the American economy, it makes no sense, but in God's economy, it's wise. Your Sabbath doesn't just protect you, it protects others too. Final verse. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, one of the reasons we take a day of rest every 7 days is to mirror the rhythm of our Father. He's our God. He sets an example for us. One of our goals is to be like him. It's actually the main goal of our lives, to become like Jesus and make him known. Right at the beginning of the scriptures, God works for 6 days, and then he rests on the seventh. Now, one of the questions we have to ask is, what does it mean that God rests? Right? Because is God like exhausted? Like, whoa, I'm wiped out. That creating is killing me. Creative energy is no joke, but I'm pretty sure that's not what God is saying, right? Tim Keller talks about how on the seventh day, I love this, God stops creating creation to rule creation, right? To enjoy creation. He stops creating creation to enjoy creation. He stops creating creation to be with us in creation, because that's what we say. See, at the heart of the Sabbath is taking a day to intentionally sit in the rule of God, to enjoy his presence, to be with him without distraction, without the other usual distractions of life. You see, part of Sabbath is remembering that God doesn't just want us to do stuff, he loves just being with us. It's like my kids. If you have kids, it's probably like your kids. Do I like it when they do their chores? Oh yeah, I love it. Super proud of that, kids. Do I like it? Am I proud of their accomplishments when they come home with achievements. Am I proud of that? For sure, I'm proud of that. But you know what I like more than all of that? When they just want to be with me. When they just want to be with me. Nothing feels like them just wanting to be with me. This is why in the parable of the prodigal son, the father runs out to meet his child and he throws a robe around him and he kills the fattened calf. Why? Because he's so proud of what his son has been doing? No. His son's been throwing his life away. His son's been making horrible, horrible choices, but he's thrilled and he's throwing a party. Why? Because he wants to be with his child again no matter what. Sabbath is about remembering that. God doesn't need me to do anything for him to love me. He just wants to be with me. Friends, this is why Jesus, when he spoke to very, very committed religious people who are all working so, so hard to win God's approval, says these words. Understand the audience. This is a church audience. These are the people that show up to church 4 or 5 days a week. Just going for it. By the way, that's not always bad, but I'm just saying. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, the real rest, the true rest, the rest that lasts. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, friends, a rest day every week is a really good thing, but don't have a Sabbath rhythm without a Sabbath Lord. Don't have a day of rest but miss Jesus. Because rest for your soul has, can, and never will come from simply following Sabbath rules. True rest, real rest, soul satisfying and filling rest can and will only come from the one to whom the Sabbath rules point, the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want you to consider and ask yourself, do I have a day of rest in my weekly life? Do I have a day of rest in my weekly life? Not just a day off, but a day of rest, a day with Jesus. And more importantly, the bigger question is, do you know the one who will give you ultimate rest? Is he part of your everyday? And is Jesus the focus of your Sabbath day? Are you staying connected to the one who offers rest for your soul? Friends, as we close our service this morning, we're going to do two things. We're going to worship Jesus together. We're going to lift him up. We're going to say, you are the priority of my life. You are the Lord and King of my life. You are the one I can trust and follow and love and rely on. And then we're also going to celebrate baptism with some people who are declaring that they have found ultimate and eternal rest for their souls in Jesus as Lord of their lives. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you're here to be baptized today, as I'm praying, during my prayer, you can just come up and you can go to the back and you can get ready. If you are here this morning and you had not planned on being baptized, but you know that God longs for you to declare him as Lord and Savior of your life, if you've been on the edge and you have hesitated from taking that step to making Jesus Lord, to being a follower of Jesus Christ, to embracing and receiving all that grace and mercy and love and forgiveness that he offers to you through his death and resurrection on the cross. If you need to make Jesus Lord of your life today and you want to declare that publicly and the Holy Spirit is pinging your mind and heart right now, then today might be your day. As I pray, you can just get up and you can walk to the back. Pastor Katie, one of the safest and most beloved people I know, is going to be right back there, and she would just love to talk to you about that. Even if you just have questions and you're not sure today, what would I wear? We have t-shirts in the back. We have shorts in the back. We have towels in the back. We can make it happen for you in the back. Don't let logistics hold you back from making maybe the greatest, what will be the greatest decision of your life to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what we're celebrating right now. People who say, I've searched the world and it couldn't fill me, right? But Jesus filled me, and he is the rest that my soul longs for and desires. If that's you today,
come to the back and be baptized. Let's celebrate together, church. Let me pray. And again, if you're being baptized, come forward. Father, we lift you up today. We see the wisdom of this commandment, Lord. We see the wisdom of how you've designed us and how you know what we need, even more than we know what we need. How these commandments, Lord, aren't just rules, but an offer to walk in freedom, God. And so help us, God. We want to walk in that freedom. We want to walk with you. We want to find rest for our bodies and our minds, but also for our souls. This morning, God, I pray for everyone who will be baptized today as they declare you as Lord and Savior. Would you just remind them how special they are to you? Would you just affirm in their minds and hearts your commitment to them, to walk with them the rest of their days, your promise to forgive their sins, Lord? Would you free them from the sense of having to work for your love and affection, and then fuel them with that same love and affection to live their lives through you and for you and with you? God, that's what we all long for and need. And mostly, Lord, today, we want to lift you up. We know that when you are lifted up, you draw people to yourself. We know that when we lift you up, Lord, you write all the other things in our minds and hearts. So we worship you today, and we worship you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.